Good morning, everyone. So today we are going to start another topic. In your next assignment 4, there are two steps basically. Assignment 4. So there are basically two steps. You already have your finalized ER diagram, right? And in the next assignment, you need to convert it into relational model. We already learned first step, how to convert your ER model into relational model, right? That's what we were doing in the last few lectures. Now, once you get your relational model, you need to check whether your design is a good design or not. So you need to apply some of the rules, and those rules comes under the process of normalization. We call it normalization. So there are a few rules which we are going to learn. Three rules basically. You need to apply those three rules on each of the relations you will get after the conversion. So after, for example, after you convert your ER model into logical model, relational model, suppose you get 6 tables, then you need to apply these rules on each of those 6 tables. Now the good news is, it seems like lots of work, but the good news is, if your ER model is correct, and if you are using the correct way to transform into logical model, then most of the time, 99% time, your tables are already normalized. So you just need to check, but you don't need to do most of the time anything. It is already normalized. And that's why today, to learn the normalization process, we will take many, many examples which may seem to you a little bit awkward. Because we need to take a non-normalized table, and we are not used to seeing non-normalized table. Now, to learn the normalization, because normalization is based on one very important concept that is called functional dependencies. So we need to first learn what is functional dependencies, and then we can learn what is normalization, right? Is it working? It seems like, right? Okay. So we will start with learning some of the guidelines, how to design your relational schema or logical design or the tables. As we are following the correct way of designing our tables, we started with data requirements and then created the ER model, and then using the right process, we converted into relational model. So although we can check those guidelines, but actually we already followed those guidelines. But let's see, what are they? So we already know what is relational database design. The grouping of attributes to form good relations. Like the question can be, why we are putting all the employee... let's see one example. This is the first time I am trying this. So let's see how it goes. Okay. Let me first erase this. I hope the experiment will be successful. Okay. So suppose one of the design is... This is our design one, and we have, suppose, what else? Okay. At the same time, department number, department name, and location. And we have here some employees. For example, some name. And there are some other details here. And then suppose these two employees works in department number 10. And the name of the department is accounts. And suppose some location. And this employee is working on department number 20, for example, personal department, and the location is something else. So this is one of the design. And let's suppose we have another design. Where instead of putting everything in one table, we try to put There are some other details. So here we have two design. Let's suppose this is the first design, where instead of putting everything in two different tables or multiple tables, we try to put all the information in the single table, right? And the alternative design is this design. Instead of a single table, we try to divide it into two tables. Which one do you think is a better design? Design one or design two? Think from entities perspective. If you will make the entities, will you make a single entity putting employees details as well as department details in the same, or would you like to have two different entities? Right? We will like to have two different entities. The same thing is there. The design one is not a good design actually. The design two is a better design. And that's what we will see, why design 2 is a better design. Why not we should have all everything in a single table or maybe few tables instead of dividing into multiple tables. What are the reasons? And we will just in a moment, we will see some reasons. For example, So how do we decide how to group it? Actually, when we are following the steps which we are taking in our assignments, we will not have a table like design one, will we? Where everything is included in single? No. Automatically that will be divided. So that process is giving us actually in the end, most probably in 99% of the cases, we will get a good design. So this is more whatever we are reading little bit initially is more about who don't follow the same process, starting from data requirements and then doing ER modeling and then converting it. Sometimes for the small project, instead of going through all these processes, although this process is advisable, people directly make the tables. instead of going through ER diagram, conceptual diagram, and then converting it, they directly make the tables, and at that time, the normalization procedure is much more useful. But still, we need to learn it, although in your assignment, you are following the correct procedure, right? So this gives us an idea about how to do a good design. In the normalization, we will first learn what is a functional dependency, and we will learn basically three rules, and they are called first normal form, second normal form, and third normal form. Our objective is to have all our tables at third normal form, right? That is the highest normal form. That means you checked all the rules, and then your table actually is a good design, or the collection of your database is a good design. Right? So before we go to functional dependencies and normalization, there are some guidelines. And the guideline one says that each tuple in a relation should represent one entity or relationship instance. You should not include the attributes of different entities in single relation. Why? Because then it will lead to a bad design. Like in our case here. See here, this is the case where we have tried to include the attribute of two entities together in one. And what can be the problems if we try to include the attributes of multiple entities in single is that we will have many problems here. And what are those problems? These problems are called anomalies, and they are basically insertion, deletion, and updation anomaly. So if we will try to combine the attribute of different entities into a single relation or table, there can be a problem of insertion, deletion, or updation anomaly. So let's first try to understand what is insertion, deletion, updation anomaly with the help of our example of a bad design. Because it includes the attribute of multiple entities together. So, the first one is insertion anomaly. Maybe I should open a new one, or maybe I can erase this and start. No, I need both of them just to show you. Okay, so the first one is insertion anomaly. And in the first, what is the primary key in the first design? What do you think is the primary key? SSN. So this is our primary key, right? Now, the insertion anomaly is, suppose a new department is established, right? Department number 30. And the name of the department is sales, and suppose the location is Z or Y, it doesn't matter. So we try to insert a new department, and what is this? Sorry, assume that there is a sales written here. Sorry, I'm novice in using this, so there may be many hiccups here. And suppose this is the location, right? There is no employee yet recruited for this particular department. So obviously, we don't have values here, do we? Do we have the values here? No, right? So we'll put null. Is it allowed? No. Why? It's the key constraint. You cannot have the null values in the social security number. So we have some information like a new department is established, but we cannot enter this information. How we will enter in this design? We need to wait until the first employee is recruited for that department. And this is just three values, we may keep it in mind. But think about a complicated very big table where there are lots of information we need to put, but we can't put until some additional information is available, and we need to keep everything on the paper. What's the use of this computerized database then, where you need to wait for something else? And that is the insertion anomaly or problem with insertions. Anomaly means problem. So we cannot add some information till the other detailed information is available for that. Now let's see the same scenario in the second design. So we have a new department and its name is sales and the location is Y. There is no employee yet recruited for that department. Can we do it in second design? We can do it. Even if there is no employee in the employee table, still we can do this. So that is possible here, but that was not possible in the case of the first design. So your second design is a better design because it is free from insertion anomaly, right? Now, another anomaly is, let's see another example of this anomaly. Okay. Consider this relation. It is similar to your previous one. Employee, project number, employee name, project name, number of hours. And here, if we have some project established, but we don't have any employee working on it, we cannot enter the project information until the employee information is available to us. Do you want me to fill the data here and show to you? Or do you understand what I'm trying to say? Okay, so here we cannot include the details of the project until the employee working on that project, that information is available to us. So this is also because, why do you think is the problem here? Which two entities we have mixed up together? We have employee details, which should be somewhere else, employee number, employee name. We have project details also here, project number, project name, and maybe multiple information about the project. And we have put a works on relation also in the same place. Employee number, project number, and number of hours that employee is working on that project. So basically we included three things in a single table. So this, if you see like this, let me save this and we can come up with another one. Where to open? Okay, I hope I'm choosing the... do I need to give the new name? Okay, new to. Okay, this is not found. Okay, because I opened it. Sorry. It should be new. Okay. All right. What I was talking about? It's too hot and too suffocating. It's so difficult. What we were talking about? Really, my mind has gone blank. Yeah, actually we have put... Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much. So we have employee here, right? With all the details. Sorry, I'm using a different notation. Because, sorry, this is the UML notations. In that table, that single table is actually having all these details together. actually, in ideal circumstances, we should have made a separate employee table. This is M2N. The good design would be having an employee table with social security number and employee name, and having another project table with project number and project name. Isn't it the correct way to translate this, right? We create separate tables for every entity, and because it is a M2N relationship, so we should have another relation, works, which should include social security number, project number, and hours, right? So the correct design should be this, having employee separate, project separate, and work separate. But instead of that, we have included here all of them together. See here? So basically, this relation is a very bad design, because we are including not only two entities details, but also the relationship details at the same time in a single table. And that's why it has all those problem: insertion, deletion, updation anomaly. So we discuss insertion anomaly. The second one is updation anomaly. Let's go back to our original table. What it is saying? Do you want to save, I suppose? Okay, let's include, open a new one. Okay, now let's talk about the updation anomaly. Suppose the location of a department changed, or the name of a department changes. How many places we need to change that value? Suppose the department number 10 name changes from accounts to finance. It may seem little bit unnecessary, but just assume that the account name changes to finance. How many places we need to update it? Two. Right now it's two because there are only three employees. Suppose there are 1,000 employees and 100 of them are working in that department. All of them we have to change, which should not be case. So that is actually updation anomaly, where you want to change a single information, but you are required to change it at multiple locations. So here, that is the problem is there in the design one. If the location or the department name changes, you have to check for every employee working in that department and then change the department name everywhere. Now, let's see the same thing in the second. The accounts department changed from account to finance. So, we will change it here from accounts to finance. Right? So, we want to change a single thing and we are changing it at single location. Because in the previous case, you need to check for all the employees working in department number 10. If you fail to do it for one of them or for few of them, then many of the employees working in department 10 will show department name as finance. And many of the employees who are working in department number 10, their tuples will or rows will show the department name as accounts. Right? And that is data inconsistency. Somewhere department number 10 is account and somewhere the department number 10 is finance, which should not be the case. It is giving you confusing data, right? There should be a one absolute truth here, right? So this one first design has the updation anomaly also. The same thing is true for the other design also, the other example we are taking. Suppose a project name changes here, then again you need to do it at multiple location, because there are many employees working in project, this project, right? So if suppose 100 employees or 50 employees working in the same project and that project names change, you need to change it in every row related with the employee working in that particular project. So it also has that updation anomaly. But if we try to put it in the correct design there, if we try to do it in a correct design, this is a correct design for that, we will just do it here. If that project change, we are just changing the name here. So at one location, we don't need to change automatically. This will work from here. That employee, if we will follow, it can come from here. Right? So we need to change it at only one location. So this is a good design. And the last is deletion anomaly. And what does it say? So we already saw insert anomaly, cannot insert a project unless an employee is assigned to it. In the case of employee department, we cannot insert a department until an employee started working in it. The update anomaly is, if we change the name of one project, we need to make the updation at multiple location. In case of employee department example, if the name of the department changes, we need to change it at multiple location. And the last one is delete anomaly. When a project is deleted, we need to delete either all of the employees working in it. Alternatively, if an employee is the sole employee on a project, deleting that employee would result in deleting the corresponding project. In the first case, do you understand, if a project is deleted, what we have to do? Let's try to see. This is a good design, so we need to open another one. Yeah, not open, sorry. We need to open a new one. This is the example here. So we have employee number, we have project number, we have employee name, project name, and hours. Suppose we have project P1, P2. Employee 1, employee 2, employee 3, employee 2. And the employee name is suppose X, Y, Z. And the project name is suppose some website development. And the other one is to prepare an accounts package. And here suppose this is 30 hours, 20. 15. Okay. Now suppose project P1 is deleted. How can you delete it? Either you have to delete both these rows, right? That is the first option. If you will delete both these rows, in that case you will lose the information about employee 1. You will not lose the information about employee 2, because employee 2 is available in the last row also. So even if you delete this one and this one, this employee 2 is already here. So you will not lose employee 2 information. But you will lose employee 1 information. Is employee 1 information available anywhere else? No. So the first is, if you try to delete the whole row, you are losing some of the employee's information, which you cannot retrieve from anywhere else. That's the first thing. Another way is, don't delete the whole row. Just make this part and this part null. so as to keep the information about the employees, so that we will not lose the information about employee. Can we do this? What is the primary key here? Only employee number can be primary key? It's together. Can we do this? Partial null. Half of the primary key as null. No, we cannot do that. So the only option is deleting the whole row. And deleting the whole row means losing employee 1. And this is just the example of 4 rows. There may be hundreds of employees who are only working in that particular project, and you will lose all the information about that particular employees, all those employees. So this is the deletion anomaly here. And if we check in the other case, this design, if a project is deleted, we can delete from where? How can we do it? The project number was P1, P2 was here, and employees are here, employee 1, employee 2, employee 3, and all their details are here. And employee 1 was working on project 1 and employee 2 was working on project 1, and there were some hours, and then there were project 2 details, and project 1 is deleted. How can you delete here? Is it much easier here? First of all, you need to delete this row, right? Isn't it? And you will delete these two rows. Because project is deleted, so there is no employees working on it. Is the employee details deleted? They are still here. Right? So this is a better design. Even if we delete one of the project, still all the other information remains intact, which was not the case in the previous case. There is one more thing here. Suppose, see one more example. Here one employee 3, this is another example. Employee 3 is the last employee working in department number 20. There is only one employee working in department number 20. Let's assume that. And suppose that employee leaves the organization. How will you represent that information with the first design? In the second design, it's very easy. Employee 3 leaves, so what we are going to do? We will just delete this row here, right? Because that employee left the organization, right? And we will not touch anything in the department table. But how will we do this thing here? This employee is the only employee working in department number 20. First thing is, either delete the whole row, right? If we will delete the whole row, what additional information we are losing? Department number 20 information, which is not available in any other rows, right? So if we will try to delete the whole row, because we want to lose the information about the employee number 3, that employee is no longer working in our organization. And if we decide to delete the whole row, we will also lose the information about department number 20, which cannot be retrieved from any other row. Right? Another option is, let's not delete the whole row. Let's make the values of employee as null. But can we do that? Can we make it keep the department information and losing the employee details? Is it possible to do it? No, because we cannot put null in the SSN column because it is a primary key. So the only option is to delete the whole row, which means we want to lose employees' details, but we are also losing the department details, which is not available anywhere else. And this is very easy in the second design. We just delete the employee 3 from here. The department 20 details are still here. No problem. Right? So this is the deletion anomaly, where we want to delete some information, but we are forced to delete additional information, which we cannot get from anywhere else. Right? So this mixing up the all many entities data or relationship data together at one place creates insertion, deletion and updation anomalies. And that's why we should not mix that. And if you see in general, there is lots of redundant information here. Does it really matter that we should store department name and location every time a new employee comes up in the to work in that department? Because see here, all this information is redundant. Every time a new employee comes in department number 10, we fill the details of the employee as well as the department number, and again we repeat the information, department name and department location. It's the waste of space, right? In this case, in the other design, if a new employee comes up, we just add that employee here and we just add the department number. We don't need to add the department name and department location. So this is a much better design. It contains less redundant information, repeated information, which is there in this case. Right? So these are all the problems we have with design 1, which is not there in design 2. Right? Now the next thing we need to discuss is, so we were discussing the guideline, and the first guideline says each tuple in a relation should represent one entity or relationship instance. Don't try to put together the details of multiple entities or entities with many relationship at the same table, in the same table, because if you will do that, wastage of storage, lots of redundant information, and it will also cause insertion, deletion and updation, which is modification anomalies. Right? So this was the guideline 1. If we will follow the guideline 1, we are automatically following the guideline 2, which says try to design a schema that does not suffer from insertion, deletion, updation anomaly. Try to create relations so that you need to fill only as few null possible, right? And that's actually comes up when we do the design for superclass subclasses. Sometimes if we don't use the right 8A, 8B, 8C, 8D, there may be chances that many of the rows will have many, many null values. So you need to choose the correct one so that it will be a good design. And the fourth one we are not actually discussing because it requires lots of time and confuses us anyway. This says that the relation should be joined on primary key foreign key combination. If you try to join the relation not based off between, because we always join the relation based on the common column, right? But if these common columns are not primary key, foreign key in respective tables, And if you try to join them, you will see many of the extra rows are created, which contains meaningless information. And those rows are called spurious tuples or spurious rows. Let's not go. If you want, you can see in the book. It's very simple to understand. So the next thing which we need to understand is functional dependency. I think let's have a break and then we will continue with it. So we are leaving at 8:55. We should be back at 9:10. Right? Okay. Shall we start? Ready? Focused again. Got the break? No more feeling sleepy or somewhere else mentally, physically here. Right? Okay. Because it is very important concept. If you will not understand functional dependencies, it's very difficult to do normalization. Right? So what is a functional dependency? These are some formal measures to determine the goodness of relational design or our relational schema. So to make the normalization or to do the normalization procedure, we need to do two things in every relation. First of all, we need to determine the keys, primary key, which we already know, because when we converted the ER model to relational model, we already have the keys sorted for every relation, right? So we need to know the primary key in every relation, and then we need to determine what are the functional dependencies in that relation. And then we do the normalization procedure. So let's first understand what is a functional dependency. So here in the last line, see here, we have here a set of attribute X functionally determines a set of attribute Y if the value of X determines a unique value of Y. Did you understand anything? Me too. I didn't understand. All right, so I have my ways to understand this. This looks a little bit mathematical, but it makes sense if we will see this definition with the example. So we say that X determines Y holds if whenever two rows have the same value for X, they must have the same value for Y. Okay, again, there may be some confusion, but let's see one example and then it will be more clear. Okay. So here X, Y are what? X, Y's are nothing but our attributes in the relation. Again, I am making a bad design. You will see lots of bad design in this example. So we have E name and we have salary. What else? Address. Okay, what's the key here? This is our key, right? Now, even if you don't go into the definition of functional dependency, if you know the social security number of a person, what other information you will know? You can determine the name. For example, if you know student ID, and if there is a system, and if we search for that student ID, we can get all the information about that student. The same is with employee. So if we know social security number, or let's go through the definition, and we are trying to say, although, if suppose the same social security number comes here, although it's not possible because it is the key, but let's assume that the same social security number comes here, what will be the value of ename? Yeah? It will be Thomas, right? because this is the details about employee 1, right? The salary will be same, just like here, right? In the first one. And address will be also same, and the department number will also be same. So every time the social security number value will repeat, all other things will repeat, isn't it? And that's what that definition is saying. Now read that definition again. From X to Y holds, X functionally determines Y. In this case, X is social security number and Y is suppose E name. So social security number functionally determines E name. This is true if whenever two rows have the same value for social security number, they must have the same value for E name. Or in other case, this is also holding. If we know the social security number, this is true for this also. This is true for this also. And this is also true for department number. But this is not true for So in this case, if we try to follow this definition, it says that X, which is one of the attribute of a relation, determines another attribute of relation if whenever the value of social security number duplicates in some other row, the same value of E name should come in the same other row. Now let's try to see it again. Maybe it will make sense now. So if we know the social security number, if the same value of X is coming, the same value of Y should come. The definition says X determines Y if and only if whenever two rows have same value of X, it must have does it make sense now? Whenever the same value of X will come, for example here and here, same value of X is there, then here the same value of Y is there, right? So we can say SSN determines or functionally determines E name. Is the opposite true? Does E name determines social security number? Because if it is true, then whenever the same value of E name is there, which in this case is at three places, the same value of social security number should be there, which is not the case. So this is not true, but this is true, right? Now do you understand little bit? Because department name is determined by department number. Right? It may seem from the value here that department name is also determined by social security number, but it's not. Department name is determined by department number. Whenever the same value of department number comes, the same value of department name comes. And same is for department location. Whenever the same value of department name comes, the same value of department location comes. Let's try to take another example. One of you taught me not to open another one. Just add a page. Thank you very much. All right, so let's see the other bad design we were talking about before. We have employee number, employee name. Is it right? No. Why is it default? And then address. Yes, this is much better. And then, sorry, I should have written project first. Okay. And we have employee name, and we have employee address, and we have project name, project location, and hours. Now let's check what are the functional dependencies here. Suppose employee 1, employee 2, employee 3, employee 4, project 1. And sorry, this may be a better example, I think. Thomas. Okay, I can't think of any other name. Okay, what's the key here? Right? Now let's try to figure out what determines what. Whenever the same value of employee number is repeating, like in here and here, what are the other values which are repeating? Does employee number determines project number? Is it true? It's not true, right? Does employee number determines employee name? Whenever, see here, the same employee is here, the same name is there. So this is true. Does employee number determines address? Right? See here, the same employee number is here and the same address is here. This was the whole thing. If the X value is same, the Y value should be same. If that's true, then X determines Y. So this is true, right? And does employee number determines P name? Actually, without even checking, we can say that it won't determine, right? Because project name may be determined by project number, right? So that will not be true. Let's try to check if the opposites are true. So this is also not true. Let's check If employee number determines, what else is there? Nothing else. Okay, let's check for the opposite thing. Does address determines employee number? So here the same value, here the same value. In this case it's true, right? Here it's not true. When here these two values are same, then employee number should be same, which is not the case, right? So this is not true, right? Let's try to see the opposite, although we saw before. Is it true? In this particular case, it is true. But two employees may have the same name. Suppose is it true now? This is the same value. Is this the same value? No. So this is not true. So far we have determined employee number determines employee name. Employee number determines address. Now let's see for others. It's better if I erase this and write the same thing here, so that we can see the table and everything at the same time. Okay, so we determined about e name depends on e number. We determine e address depends on e number. What about the project name? It depends on what? Project number. Because whenever the same value is here, the same value is here. Whenever the same value are here, the same value are here. Is the opposite true also? Does project name determines project number? In this case, yes. But suppose if two projects have the same name, then it won't be true. What about project location? Project location depends on what? Project number. What about hours? How did you determine it? Can you find that the hours depends on project number with... Sorry. I am used to writing on board, so whenever I write something else, my fingers come to erase it, which cannot work in this case. Okay. Hours depends on both the combination. Actually, it's very difficult to find from the data here. But those attributes which we cannot determine that what they depends on, the key always determines all the other attribute. So that's the key. Right? And for the normalization purpose, we need to know, actually we found many here, but for normalization procedure, we need to know what are these non-prime attribute depends on. So what is a prime attribute? Those attributes which makes up the key. And non-prime attribute, these are called prime attributes, which are part of the key. And non-prime attributes are, these attributes are non-prime attribute, which are not part of the key. So we are only interested in those functional dependencies where right-hand side is this and left-hand side is one of the prime attribute or combination of prime attribute. So for normalization procedure, we are interested in this, we are interested in this, we are interested in this, interested in this, interested in this, but this is not useful for us for normalization procedure. But if in the exam I ask you to find out all the functional dependencies, you need to find all possible. But if I am asking you to do the normalization, you need to only do this. Just write down all the non-prime attribute, E name, address, P name, and hours. And try to find the left-hand side of this. So just write down all the non-prime attribute. There is one more I missed. Address, P name, P location. So write all the non-prime attributes on the right-hand side and try to find what is the left-hand side. If you can find this much, you can do the normalization procedure. Okay? All right. So this we already figured it out. Social security number determines E name, if there is any address, if there is any salary. All the details of the employee can be determined by the social security number of the employee. All the details of the project will be determined by project number, which is unique. So basically every entity details can be determined by the key attribute of that entity. So in the case of project, project number is unique. So it can determine, it can determine all the details about the project. And if there are some relationship attributes are coming, that can only be determined by the combination or the composite key. We are not going into the details of this theoretical concepts, but this is the property of every relational schema. This we have already seen. What about this? We saw this, right? What's the key here? Right? So which functional dependencies you need to determine? So we need to write all the non-prime attribute on the right-hand side and we need to determine they depend on which one. And you should come up most of the time, the left-hand side should be one of the prime attribute. But in some cases, it can't be. So in this case, we have already determined for D number, what? What will be the left-hand side? Social security number. See here, if even will come here again, what will be the value here? D10, right? So it also depends on social security number. Here the same value of D name, same value of D number. So this depends on D number. This also depends on D number. So there may be many other, but we are more interested in where the right hand side is a non-prime attribute. These are non-prime attributes. Yeah. We can't do it. I am just asking you to assume for now. Yeah. Yeah, but that is an indirect relationship. That is called transitive dependency. We will talk about it later. We are more interested in direct right now. Okay? Yes, but that's true. The same mathematics rules apply. If A is equal to B and B is equal to C, A is equal to C. So same is here. Social security number determines D number, and D number determines D name or D location. So from these two we can say social security number determines D name. That's true. That you can do here. Okay? But for now, we are only interested in the right-hand side is non-prime attribute and left-hand side is one of the part of the key or the key itself. Okay? What about here? It's little bit different from the other one. What's the key here? Let's determine that first. It is actually the combination of these two, right? So in this case, we need to determine project name depends on what, E name depends on what, rate category depends on what. And hourly rate depends on what. Right? This is very clear. P name you can find out from project number. Project number is same, then P name is same. So project number determines project name. Similarly, E name can be determined by E number. See here, if the employee number is same, the E name is same. So it is determined by employee number. What do you mean by this rate category? With which rate they are paid? So every employee belongs to a particular rate category. So how will you determine the rate category? Employee number. Because see here, employee number is same, the category is same. Is the opposite true? Because if the opposite is true, then This are same, but these values are not same. So rate category is also determined by employee number. What about the hourly rate? It may seem that it is determined by employee number, but in logical sense, what do you think it is dependent on? If you try to think in that, so every employee is, for example, in our case, there is a salary scale, right? For every employee, your salary scale is determined. And then, whichever salary scale you are dependent on, you will be paid according to that, right? So it's similar to that. A, B, C's are the salary scale, and then this is the actual amount which is paid. So the actual amount depends on what? Employee or the scale? Rate category. Although from data it may look that it can depend on the employee number, but sometimes you need to think logically. For example, if my grade is, for example, 75 or 72, right? And so my payment will be determined by that grade category. So my employee ID will determine my grade 75 or 72. And those rates changes every year or every couple of years, right? So I'll be paid according to that. So the actual amount is dependent on the grade, just like actual amount depends on the rate category. Okay, here it is a little bit complicated. I'll try to fill a little bit more data here so that it will be more clear to you. So the same teacher is teaching two courses. Try to understand this. Okay. You need to check for each one of them. Oh, sorry, I'm so sorry. Okay. Does teacher determine scores? I have written all the permutation combination possible in this case. Does teacher determine scores? Here, the same teacher is there. Is the course value same? No, so this is not true. Does teacher determines text? Same values here. Is the value same here? Is it? No, so teacher text is also not possible. Course teacher. Now we need to find the same value of course. This is data management, this is data management, this is data management. Is the teacher same? No. Course text. This is data management, data management, data management. Is the text same? No. And similarly here, see here also. This is the same course. Is the text same? No. So this is also not true. Does text and teacher, is there a connection? See here, this is same text. Is the teacher same? No. So this is also not true. And the last one. If the text is same, is the course same? Text is same, course is same, right? So this is the only functional dependency that exists in this table. This is a very good example to figure it out. And in general, if you think the same book, text means the book which we are using. So the same material will be used in the same course, maybe by different teachers, right? So if this is the name of the course, text material, then any material related with the course will be used in the same course, right? Okay, I don't know how much you are following this. And then we come to the normalization. So what we do in the normalization, the process of decomposing unsatisfactory bad relations by breaking up their attribute into smaller relation. So we actually, there are three rules, first normal form, second normal form, third normal form, and they are applied in this particular order. So when we have a relation, we determine the key, which we already have because we converted it from conceptual schema to logical schema, and we already have the primary key. Then we determine the functional dependency. So we do first find primary key, which is already there. Then find functional dependencies in each relation, and then apply first normal form. If the table is following the first normal form, then only we can apply second normal form. And if the table follows second normal form, then we apply third normal form. So in other words, to apply second normal form, the table has to be in first normal form. To apply third normal form, the table has to be in second normal form. So we do in this particular order. So suppose we apply first normal form, and if the table is not in first normal form, then we need to take some corrective actions to convert it into first normal form. And that is decomposing the table into multiple relation. So this is the only way. If it is not in first normal form, then we need decomposition, right? And then we come up with the table which actually follows the first normal form. And after the decomposition, the resultant table, we will then apply second form normal form in the resultant tables. And again, we will check if the second normal form is applicable. If not, we will again decompose the table into multiple tables, and there are rules for that. And then after the decomposition, the table should be in second normal form, and then we apply whether there it is a third normal form or not. So this is the particular order we follow. I don't know whether we should start the normal forms today or not, because it's too much anyway today, right? Or you still have the capacity? Yes or no? No, right. Okay, so we are taking a break. Not break. Break for today. We will meet on Friday. Right? And till then, you can start working on your assignment 4. Convert your conceptual schema into logical schema. You will come up with very many primary key, foreign keys. And try figuring out the functional dependencies. The first assignment was... The first assignment was you made the data requirements. The second ER... it is the third assignment. Sorry. Typical sign of a teacher. Forgetting, confusing,